Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Talk about a lot of things today. A lot of things. Hopefully my co-host Jerry JT ATM Money Taylor calls in, because a lot of this show pertains to him. This week we're going to recap the two guests we had on our previous shows. We had Ivory Leita of the now Washington Mystics on the show on Thursday, and on yesterday we had a Sylvia Crawley make her second appearance on the show, and Jerry was a part of both of those programs, and we want to talk to him about those. I actually was co-hosting for the Leita interview, and that was probably one of our favorite ones, because everybody was relaxed and calm, and there was no awestruck type situation or anything like that. But we're going to talk about that. Also, I want to talk about the NFL Combine that's going on right now. You have linemen and tight ends that are in progress today. Some surprising 40 times for some of these big guys. I mean, some of these guys are pretty dead on fast. Interior linemen as well as tackles. They're pretty fast, and I don't know. Can I keep up with them? I don't know. We're going to talk about that. And today, in a little while, actually, Manti Te'o is going to hit a press conference at the Combine. That should be interesting. So when that happens, we'll talk about it. Also, we're going to discuss UFC 158. This is the first card that the UFC has focused a main event on female combatants. First time. We'll talk about that. Fantasy baseball is right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. And we've got a lot of great things to talk about when it comes to that. But this show, or today, we're going to focus on the New York Yankees. I think there's an issue with the Yankees in general. Not the fact that nobody likes them or only New Yorkers like them or, you know, you got bandwagon folk. But there legitimately is an issue with the Yankees. We're going to hear about Mariano Rivera's return, whether or not he'll be with the team past spring training. You know, there's a chance that Rivera might not be a Yankee. I believe he's 43, turning 44 this year, coming off of an ACL injury. And it's not looking good for the home team. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more. Again, we've got a great, great show in store for you. I'm bringing right now my co-host, my ace Boom Coon, my pickaninny. ATM.
Oh, no, you didn't go there. You did not go there. Oh, my. Oh, you did not. Oh.
Hey, I love you, JT.
Oh,
hey,
yeah, okay. Okay.
You know why I just said that? Because
why?
My wife and I were watching, what's my man? He wrote for Richard Pryor a lot. And he's like the most racist, realist comic ever. I forgot his name. Oh, my God, we were just watching him. Old guy, your generation guy. Paul Mooney.
Paul Mooney. He's a piece of work.
Oh, yeah. He is a piece of work. And
mm-hmm.
He
tells it like it is. He tells it like it is, that's for sure.
Yeah. No cut cards whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
But that's the first thing that pops in my mind when I see your number pop up.
Oh, thanks a lot.
But I love
you. Okay.
I do. I really do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into all the good, good goods, let's talk about two topics that were hot for us. We had
okay.
two great guests come on the FSP Crew Show and No Chaser this past week. We had Ivory Leda and Sylvia Crawley come on, and you were a part of both of those programs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to talk about Leda because I wasn't the host, but if you didn't show up, I was. So break down to the listeners what they missed and how that went.
Well, you just missed two dynamic women that are very high achievers. One still playing in WNBA, one formerly of the WNBA. One's a point guard. I'm talking about Ivory Leda, and the other one, Sylvia Crawley, is a ex-WNBA player, a newly married person to a military person. But don't get it twisted. She has her own life. She has her own aspirations and things that she's doing. She's an entrepreneur, very successful in that field, a licensed minister and also a motivational speaker. So she's definitely A-type personality, very humble but very outgoing at the same point. Both these two women are from North Carolina. Both of them. One's a mentor. Excuse me?
From South Carolina. Ivory's from South Carolina, but she went to North Carolina.
Yes. And believe it or not, until we talked to Ivory Leda, we did not know that Sylvia Crawley was her mentor. So that was just pretty ironic that we got two North Carolina Lady Tar Heels, and one is the mentor of the other. Two different totally different backgrounds, but two types of the same type of personalities. I wouldn't say same personalities because Ivory Leda is more outgoing, more bubbly, versus Sylvia Crawley, who's a little bit more reserved. But both of them are their own women and very engaging and conversational. So both nights were very enjoyable.
Did I ever get a chance to call in yesterday?
No, I tweeted her several times. I Facebooked her several times. Maybe she was tied up in doing whatever she was doing didn't call back. But that's fine. I mean, we were hoping she would be able to call in and both have them on the phone at the same time. But it is what it is. It wasn't taken away from the program because we had Sylvia Crawley for an hour and 50-something minutes. So, and that was the second time she came on. And, Vic, I don't know if you listened to the program, but this is what she said. She said it was near the end of the program, and she said that she would be more than happy to come on and co-host when Mac is unavailable.
Really?
I'm telling you.
I am down the clown. Yes.
I'm
Make
dead
happen,
serious.
Dude.
I'm dead serious.
Make
she said
happen.
That. Probably either one of us are unavailable. If we give her enough time and she has time available, she'd be more than happy to do it. I was shocked.
Well,
I was absolutely floored when she said that.
Since I'm going to be gone for 2 months, take advantage of that. It's always great to have a female voice.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. Yep.
And, because Women's Equality Month is in a couple of weeks, next week.
March. So that starts in March?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would
okay.
be awesome. If she could co-host one or two shows,
mm-hmm.
or maybe three or four.
I don't want to abuse. I don't want to abuse her, but she says she'd be more than happy to come on. Huh?
I want to make her a regular. That's what I want to do. I want her to come on. I want to give her her own show. This will be. Tell her this will be her tryout.
Well,
let me put it this way.
And then
Wednesday open.
The person to talk to is Mac. Okay, Mac's the one that converses with her, has her contact stuff and all that.
She's on Facebook. I can grab her on Facebook as well. But
yeah.
You're right. We'll get with Mac on that and offer her an opportunity to host a show if that's something she would like to do.
And her show doesn't have to be a weekly show. It can be bi-weekly.
No.
It can be monthly. I mean, you can just leave it up to her if she's willing to do something like that. So.
Of course.
Yeah.
And she can bring her connections. It can be scripture-based. It can be whatever she wants it to be. That'll be awesome.
And
just school her on how to run this stuff. But that's great because that rolls right into what I want to talk about next.
Mm-hmm.
But both interviews, in my opinion, were very, very personable. And what I mean by that is they seem to be very down to earth.
Right.
Very approachable and things of that nature so that we can it's just like getting to know somebody, you know.
Right.
You get to see what they're like and you decide whether or not you want to be around them or not. And I can tell you, I would want to be around them, and I think my wife wouldn't have a problem with me hanging around with them. Ivory might be in danger. But, you know,
Oh boy! You're a stalker type now. I can see that with her.
No, I'm not. I'm not calling in the show. Say I'm 6'4", from Dallas. So you know what that means. I mean, I'm not doing that. Whoever that guy was, he was looking for some action. This ain't 1-800. Give me a superstar. No, that isn't this show. Wrong show.
Mm-hmm.
But let's transition because. Yes, by all means, pursue that while I'm gone, dude.
Okay,
you have
no problem.
Launch, do what you got to do, make it happen, and you know how to work everything. But, again, that transitions us to our next topic, which is UFC 158. Because this is the first time the UFC is going to headline women. Meaning all the men that are fighting on this card are building up for the final match, which is two women. It's different because this young lady, you know, Miss Ronda Rousey, she's been doing this for 15 years. She's an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. But I believe 95% of her wins have been by submission. She's an armbar specialist. And the person she's fighting is a knockout specialist. But there's another women's wrestler, she's a medalist from the Olympics that the UFC is building up to fight Ronda. Because they want to fight each other. And this young lady is pretty accomplished. They have the same record inside the octagon. Ronda's getting the most pub because she's been the most devastating of the two. But this young lady asked for a warm-up match before she stepped in the octagon versus Ronda.
Warm-up match?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, she wanted to get in the octagon in UFC and fight, you know, one of their other female participants to prepare to fight Ronda when they headline their next event. That's if Ronda wins this match, and I think she is. She is a bad mamma jamma. I think when you look at women, you don't see a pretty face. Nice body young lady getting into the octagon and being able to beat up dudes. she can do that. You know, she's not a big girl, but she's a solid young lady, meaning her muscles, her muscle tone, she's very defined. And the thing about it is, women in sports, they get marginalized because you'll say, oh, well, you know, they can't play football. We make fun of the lingerie league. But those girls are going out with less padding than pro guys and hitting each other. And some of them girls aren't as sexy as they want to be. Some of them are kind of, you know, hot diesel and muscular. They're bodybuilders. You look at tennis. You know, you say, ah, tennis isn't a grueling sport. Yeah, try to play, you know, tennis for a long duration of time and watch how your body feels. You're using all types of muscles. And Serena Williams is a perfect specimen. But I digress. I'm going off topic. But you look at, and that's what I mean by, you know, women are marginalized. Because you can look at Serena Williams in an outfit and don't even care that she's playing outstanding tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the other foreign to us, tennis players. You know, it's no longer back in the day when you had Jimmy Connors versus John McEnroe or Arthur Ashe and all these other folks, you know, bringing attention to the sport. It's the women bringing attention to the sport mainly because of their build and what they look like, not their athletic prowess. Once you see them play, then the attention comes to them. But Ronda Rousey, Sylvia Crawley, you know, Crawley is you know, I'm not going to say a pioneer, but she was one of the young black women to become a head coach. I think she was a head coach for Boston College, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Boston College, you know, and she wasn't a joke. You're not a joke when you do that stuff. So once men and misogynistic thoughts is put aside, and we look at these women for what they are, which is extremely talented, their sports can be propped up. And having these women get into the octagon and headlining a male-dominated sport is bold and brave of the UFC and Zuffa. Because what happens if the undercard, which is Lyoto Machida, the former light heavyweight champion, going against Dan Henderson, who was actually a former Pride and UFC champion, is better than the women's main event? Does that say that the women can't draw? Does that say that the women are boring? I mean, would you want to see two women going? I know the answer to this because I'm asking Jerry. But do you want to see two women going there and slug it out?
Why not?
Really, you surprised me with that answer, dude.
Why is that?
You really surprised me with that. Because I didn't think you would say yes.
Why not?
Why would you want to see that? I mean, I would like to see it for the pure skill level, but you think that you have the mixed martial arts enough to go to Backstreet Brawl, so your answer surprises me.
Well, I mean, to me, it's just like, and I know I'm probably going to get some flack from this. It's just like women's mud wrestling. So.
Oh my God. Oh.
So mud wrestling women or women and women in the octagon. What's the difference?
What's the difference? Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
What?
I mean, I you know what? I can't take it. You know, seriously, I can't take it really too serious, man. I really, because you know I'm not into that type of stuff. So, but I would, let me put it this way. My interest would be enhanced to watch it and to see, because I've never seen two women in the octagon. I tell you the truth, I've never seen that happen. So I'd probably watch it just because I'm interested to see what it looked like. I imagine it's just a, you know, the female version of two guys in there. So, but it's two women and it's a little bit more of excitement involved. So, I would think a lot of guys would tune in to watch two women go at it.
Well, you know, I think that's why the UFC built the card up with a lot of good talent underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Because Leona Machida versus Dan Henderson in itself is a main event. And I think they're hedging their bets, saying, okay, well, if the women don't produce, at least they would have had a very good fight between Henderson and Machida, because Machida is a karate guy. And Dan Henderson is a wrestler slash knockout guy. He's a one-punch guy. He loads that right hand up, and if he connects, you're going to sleep. It's very few people that have withstood his punching power. So I think, you know, that's the way Zuffa and UFC are hedging their bet. I think Rousey, because just like you said, a lot of men or a lot of people are interested in seeing this young lady or others get into the octagon that are female. There's going to be a big buy there. But the question is, if the match goes past one round, will the people, you know, tune out? Or will there be negative reviews or anything like that? You know, that's the question that a lot of people have to ask themselves. Sorry about that. Been up pretty late last night and woke up early this morning. But I think it ties in well because, again, Women's History Month is next month. And we had two great dynamic women on our airways this past week. So I thought that was a perfect tie-in to UFC 158.
Okay.
But, again, I'm probably going to watch it with my son. Today's his ninth birthday.
Well, tell him, is this Jerry?
No, this isn't your namesake. This is Victor.
Victor, okay.
It's number three. Yes, it's three. But he's turning nine. So got to prepare him for the pubic hair. And my wife told me, you know, I shouldn't even talk about him before what's about to happen to him in the middle of the night. You know, I'm like, it happened to me when I was his age. So why, I mean, I don't want him to think he's going to get in trouble if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those that don't understand what I'm talking about, you'll figure it out if you're a male. But when I hit 9, 10 years old, you know, and I started developing pubic hair, other things happened, and I didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
I would just have to wake up and clean myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife was like, well, next you going to tell them about masturbation? I'm like, well, if it comes up, you know, it's better to tell them young instead of learning from their friends or watching an adult movie. Because you don't want to treat women like that. If, I mean, you might, but, you know, not. Anyway, it's his birthday. We're going to hang out.
You're digressing, man.
I know. I'm trying to get back to the point.
I appreciate it.
Whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, this is not a human sexuality show. That's why I'm trying to get back to the sports we're talking about.
I know. I just got sidetracked. I'm thinking about my boy and growing up. And, you know, I love him very much, and I got to prepare myself for it. I got to prepare his mother mostly for it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Is that the youngest?
No, that's the oldest boy.
Okay.
But, you know, he's the oldest boy.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're talking about little guys, let's talk about Floyd Mayweather. You know, Black tweeted or Facebook a picture of Mr. I'm the Problem Donna. And, okay, the young man has talent. He has talent. Floyd Mayweather is the box office ticket
right now for boxing. You know my feelings on boxing. We have conflicting thoughts on MMA and boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd find some stuff on Floyd that you recently talked about yesterday about a fight between he and Pacquiao and his legacy. So we'll play the legacy piece first, get your comments. Then we'll play the thought process on fighting Pacquiao. Here we go.
If my legacy was defined off one fight, I feel that I didn't have to fight 43 fights. If that's the case, I could have just came into the sport of boxing, fought one fight, and then went down as the best fighter to ever live. If my legacy is defined off one fight.
That's kind of bold. That's kind of bold. I mean, it's true. I get what he's saying. I get exactly what he's saying. But that's kind of bold. He's fought 43. He's 43-0. There really isn't anybody left to fight him unless you want to find a way to make him and Donner fight. Again, I was one of these folks touting Pacquiao last year. You know, they need to fight, da-da-da-da-da. And then Pac went around and got knocked out. Now it's revealed that he had some issues, and he didn't see it coming because he had some optical issues and da-da-da-da-da. But what, in your opinion, because you're the big boxing fan, what defines a boxer's legacy? And what defines Floyd Mayweather's legacy?
Being consistent, stepping up to whoever the challenger is, the top challenger, I should say, and not backing away from any challenge. And, well, he's 43-0, so, I mean, his legacy is set. Even if he loses his next two or three fights, which I don't see that happening, his legacy is set because he took on all challengers that were worthy of him fighting Floyd Mayweather, with the exception of Pacquiao. And I still don't think, but he wanted to fight Pacquiao, but circumstances didn't happen. And right now, it's probably not in the cards that Pacquiao is going to set. But getting back to what your question was. Being consistent, being not afraid to take on all challenges, that definitely sustains your legacy. And the fact is, whatever smack he talked, and regardless of who didn't or didn't like it, he talked a big game and he backed it up. His legacy is set, regardless of what happens now, unless he does something in the criminal element. That will take away from what he's done in the boxing ring.
Okay, so when you look at this Mr. Donner character, he's building a buzz around himself.
Exactly.
You know,
because
of the way he carries himself and the way he performs in the ring. Now Black and my cousin. And, you know, and Max feels that he's the person that's going to carry the torch once Floyd decides to venture off into other arenas.
I believe that.
Tell me why.
Because I've seen him fight more than once, and he's got the flair. And he looks like a younger Floyd Mayweather, believe it or not. And he's got a ton of talent, and he probably hasn't tapped into all of his talent yet, because the simple fact is he hasn't really run in my opinion, to a real bona fide challenge. Not this fight, but the fight before that was probably the closest he's really gotten to a challenge. And I've seen these fights. And he has a tendency, like Floyd, to clown a little bit in the ring. But he has enough talent to get serious when it needs to get serious. And he's young, so he's still going to gain more experience. And to whoever is going to go up against him, that's scary, because the fact is he's dynamite now, and if he is getting better with each fight, with more experience and with more fights behind him, he's going to definitely have a legacy. Now, I don't know if he's going to go undefeated for as long as Floyd is, but and I worry because he seems like he has a big head, and a lot of fighters, especially in the fight game, they have a big head and have a tendency to take things for granted before they're literally smacked in the face and brought down to earth. I hope that doesn't happen to this kid. I don't think so. I think he's got pretty smart management. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. And I think he may have learned from prior experiences from other fighters. So even though he's brash, he talks a lot of garbage, I think it's all self-hype and not goes to a head. I think this kid's got tons of upside. And he's young as hell. Young as hell. And he's got tons of upside. So I think if he keeps his head on and managed properly, he'll be able to write his own legacy.
Okay. We got a call from 240. I think I know who it is, but I'm going to put him in a second.
240, that's Macau.
Yeah, I know. But I want to say, if you said he needs to hone his skills or get better at it. So would you say
every fighter, regardless if it's Floyd Mayweather or Bonner, needs to improve themselves. So he's not perfect. No one's ever perfect.
I got that. What I'm asking you is it that he needs a better trainer, better sparring partners? What do you think he needs in order to improve on his game? Adrian Bonner is a good boxer. I mean, I saw him in one fight. I was impressed. But I mean, I don't get off on these cocky dudes, you know.
I know. You think the guy should just go in the ring, not say anything, and just box and walk out of the ring and not say anything. It doesn't work that way.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying about boxing is, if you're going to have all the fans there, you're going to be, you know, the baddest man alive. I got it. Do that in the post-interviews. Do all that stuff. This is just me speaking, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to walk around and be flashy and give this persona off that you're this, that, and the third, and talk about yourself in the third person.
Why not? Let me ask you this question, Vic. What did you think of Muhammad Ali?
As far as his in-ring ability or just in general?
Overall, because
I got what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Overall, I didn't grow up in that era. Mm-hmm. I just got to see the boxing. I thought he was funny and brash when he did his things. However, if I was growing up in that era and saw, like we do now, every little thing that he said or every little thing, it probably would have just made me be like Joe Frazier. I want to shut this dude up.
Well,
let me
enlighten you a little bit. Back in when Muhammad Ali was in his prime or coming up, white America was very conservative, extremely conservative.
Mm, mm.
And to hear a black man, talk as he did, supposedly, and in quotation marks, not in his place, turned a lot of people off against him and excited a lot of people of the African-American community, because he was talking a lot of things a lot of us wanted to say and really didn't have the stage to say it. Plus the fact is, right now, Floyd Mayweather and boxers of that ilk have taken what Muhammad Ali first established to another level, and also in this day and age, it's a different day and age. I know there's some people that have that same mentality of when Muhammad Ali was back in the day, but It's more accepted that talking brass and talking about yourself and self-hyping yourself now is more accepted than it was back in the 60s and 70s and even in the 80s. So Floyd Mayweather talks a whole bunch of junk. Adrian Bronner talks a whole bunch of the same type of stuff, carries a huge chip on their shoulders and got a lot of swag about themselves. That's just the way it is right now. To sell tickets to get people to come in to either watch them back up what they say or get their block knocked off is all self-hype. It's all promotion because they get paid by doing that.
I got that. But my issue is, you know, it's not even an issue, really. It's the thought process. Muhammad Ali did that stuff during the time because there was no one to do that for him or for the black community. We have come so far. I'm not saying you don't need to hype yourself. I'm not saying you don't need to speak out against this, that, and the third. What I'm saying is that you don't need to throw your millions of dollars in everybody's face nowadays just because you have it and you can fight. I got that. You don't need to go out and be like, oh, yeah, I'm the best. I'm the best. Okay, you can say that once or twice. Got it. I don't need it in stereo over and over again until you know, hype yourself up to being this individual because everybody is built on hype nowadays. Paul Williams, he was going to be Paul Williams is my type of fighter until he got, you know, the tragic injury and now he's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak a lot. He was very confident in his ability. He went in the ring and he fought and he won. When he lost, he lost.
Yeah.
But the thing is, for me, that is my type of box. But
you can't always have what you want, a shuck and jive type of person. That's what you tell me. You want somebody to shuck and jive.
I'm not a shuck and jive person. That's just a guy that goes in there and does his business, talks when, you know, he's got the microphone after the fight or post-fight or pre-fight. But he's not going around throwing his money in the air when he's not boxing somebody. He's not going around being a showboat when he doesn't have a fight, you know, coming up. If that's the everyday lifestyle of a boxer or Mayweather, cool. I don't care. I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. But he does it, as you said, as publicity to talk about himself, self-promotion. If
he's
not box, fine. Be that way. But I don't need to turn on the TV or get on the internet and see that Floyd and 50 are in the hotel room going, counting their stacks of money. You know, I mean, what does that do? That just says, okay, well, he has it. I don't. I'm going to just start disliking this dude because he's going to keep showing it off. I got it. I understand self-promotion. That is cool. But for me, my style of boxing or boxer doesn't need to do that all the time. Muhammad Ali, as you said, he did it during that time frame because he had the platform and nobody else was doing it. Nowadays, it's a dime a dozen. And that stuff is just, it's play to me. It's play. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. It's play to me. But let me bring Mike in because we got one more sound bite about Floyd and Pac that we got to get to. And I know Mike has been chilling for a minute, biting his tongue. So I'm going to let him out.
Jerry, I'm a bad man. You know how fast I am, brother? I'm so fast that when I call the light switch, I could be in the bed before the lights come out. That's how fast I am.
Stop biting his material. Come up with your own material.
I don't have to come up with my own material. That material is so good and it's timeless and it's priceless. And to you, he is nothing more than a caricature or cartoon figure. No, that's basically what you just said, bruh. The brother,
I said Muhammad Ali.
Jerry, I know. He is a caricature.
Wait.
I know who you're talking about. I'm just starting there. You know what I'm saying? Jerry sat here and talked. He pretty much broke it down to you. He pretty much told you that you sound like those conservative dudes back in the day when Muhammad Ali used to speak and have the platform and show that swagger and that braggadocio that we all have in. There's nothing wrong with being cocky. Nothing wrong with being cocky because you're a little bit cocky yourself, cuz.
I just want you to know that.
Let us speak, Vic.
Oh, geez. You get on this show and you talk, and it's nothing but swagger oozes from your voice. You don't think that some people that are listening just don't like that, but you don't care, cause you're gonna do what you're gonna do, right?
Right.
So stop that, man. Stop that. Those men get down the way they get down because that's who they are. You know, and everything you said about Floyd was a total stereotype prism. All that stuff I think you've gotten into this bubble. As you've gotten older, you're getting more into this old man prison bubble than I am. I can't even believe it. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Right.
It's crazy. Ooh. It's crazy. Ooh. It's
Mike,
crazy.
Okay. Listen. For me, the type of boxer or athlete that gets my attention is the type that is, they don't need to beat their chest 24/7 in order to prove a point. I like Ray Lewis. He's very boisterous. He's very physical. He's very loud. But at the same time, he has a demeanor about him that is like, okay, you know what? I didn't get here by myself. God got me here. And God gave this to me, something like that. Floyd, it's me, and Roger. It's me, and Roger. God gets mentioned once in a while. God, you don't have to mention your faith. You don't do all that stuff. I got it. But it's always me, and Roger. Not my father, not God, me and Roger. And that's cool. That's the way Floyd is. That rubs me the wrong way. Like you said, I get on here and I say the things that I want to say, and it rubs people the wrong way sometimes, and I give them opportunity to voice their opinion. Not a problem.
You give them the opportunity to voice their opinion. How generous of you. How wonderful.
Yes,
because it's my
show. It's my show, and it's not being... If somebody tunes into my show, they're getting what I give them. Not the fact that I'm putting something out there that I'm trying to get attention for.
Mm-hmm.
I already got the attention.
And you're very benevolent. So merciful.
No, whatever.
So merciful
anyway.
With your cockiness. Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
I heard him.
I didn't say I wasn't cocky, but at the same time, I'm not throwing...
It's no different.
It's no different. It's a difference. If you shoot me
six times, I ain't gonna be. I'm not gonna be less mad at you if you shoot me once. Come on, man.
I'm talking about blue collar versus white collar. White collar is you know
blue collar versus white
world.
Collar. Really?
White collar is
not
on top
of
the world.
All those dudes. Came from nothing, Victor. What are you talking about?
They all came from nothing. Okay, you can say people came from nothing, but once you attain a certain status, you don't have to flaunt your wealth or flaunt the things that you've gotten since you are no longer blue collar. I mean, that's what it is.
That's a stereotype.
That's a stereotype in a small prison bubble.
That is a stereotype.
Tell me what he's done.
Huh?
If that's a stereotype. If Mayweather has not flaunted his wealth and his persona and things of that nature outside of promoting the fight, I'm not talking about promoting the fight. I get it. You got to say things, do things to promote the fight, to put butts in the seats. Got it. But when you're not fighting every year or every other year, and you're still
you know, getting in the news for doing this, that, and the other, or throwing your money around, making it rain,
what?
And stuff like that.
And what is that? And what is it? He's the best.
Yeah.
He is the best. And he's better and smarter than your boy. Because your boy getting right the coals. He getting right over the coals. He getting right over the coals. And as we go on, as the days and the months go on, we see more and more of it. We see it over. We see it. This man that you're talking about has effectively dealt with every different type of criminal element that has come at him, out the ring and in the ring, and he's warranted of respect. And the only thing that I could fault on is he need to get his family lifestyle in order, but that's his family. You know what I'm saying? If that man
puts that out there, but still.
That's his family business. That's the only thing. You sit here and talk about how he's flaunting his money, but won't you talk about how much money he's giving back over and over again?
Yep.
Won't you talk about how he paid for your man that you just was talking about, Joe Frazier's funeral, and everybody thought it was a PR ploy. He didn't even say nothing. He ain't say nothing. He didn't come out and say, yeah, I paid for it, da-da-da-da-da. So your theory is misplaced. Like I said, it's in a small prison. Because if he was so braggadocious and so cocky with it, why don't he just come out and say, yeah, I paid for that junk, and I paid for this, and I did that, too. He ain't like that, man.
Listen,
flaws just like every human being on this planet.
I gotta give him a lot of props because the fact that his family life, his uncle and his dad are straight up gangsters. Been gangsters from way back and
what?
Still gangsters, and he's risen above that and been able to
I'll say this. Roger and Floyd Sr., as Jerry said, they were in a gangster lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. But Floyd is the new version of it. He didn't raise a
lot of it. You're absolutely wrong.
Because Roger and Floyd Sr., those brothers had the skills to be on track with Leonard and Tommy Hearns, but they never got there.
But no. Again, you're looking at two different time frames, whereas, okay, Floyd Jr., or whatever he wants to be called, because I know you don't like to be called Jr., he is a product of their issues from the past, what they learned from. Floyd learned from what they went through and what they did. Parlayed that into what he is today. I'm not saying he's a gangster. I'm not saying that he's a bad person. What I'm saying is Floyd Mayweather's outward appearance for all the good that he does, and this is in general for anybody, but we're speaking about Floyd, it outweighs all that good because people don't want to hear about how Floyd paid for
You mean you people don't want to hear.
What happens is, because of all the stuff that Floyd has done prior to that Joe Frazier thing and all the stuff that Floyd has done prior to these great deeds, those other ones don't get looked at the way they should. I'm not saying they shouldn't be looking at them. What I'm saying is what he put out there beforehand is what causes people not to want to hear or see what he's done.
You know what it does, and I just figured it out. It makes people like you so uncomfortable, but you're gonna watch him fight. That's all it is.
Nah.
You either gonna be down and recognize his greatness, or you're gonna watch the junk just to watch him fall. You know what? It gave me nothing but pleasure to see Pacquiao hit the floor, Slim. Nothing but pleasure.
I know it is.
But you know what? if Mayweather go down, right, because I'm a boxing fan, if Mayweather
right.
go down, I'll think it'd be the greatest thing that ever happened. I really would. I would be so shocked and stunned. But you know what? It ain't going to happen. It'll never happen. Let
okay.
me tell you that right now. It'll never happen.
And
keep on going.
And if and when he ever goes down, Floyd it will not change. Floyd's going to be the same.
No.
He's going to give props to the person who beat him and
yep.
promise that he's going to come back from whenever he comes down from, and he's still going to be a proud black man talking all that smack.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Just like Roy
that's
Jones. Just like Roy Jones.
Right.
And Roy Jones got knocked out, and he's been...
And he's still fighting.
But here's the deal.
You know
but
he's still fighting, right?
It took Roy getting knocked out all these times in his last fights to become a humble boxer.
What are you talking about? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You might as well be listening to that dude, man. That dude is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still fighting. Victor, he's still fighting.
I tell you what. If you look at the way he was prior to now, where he speaks more respectful of people, I mean, it was like
because he speaks more respectful now because he got a job on HBO.
In there. But it forced him to be humble.
No. He speaks more respectful because he got a job on HBO. But if you listen to him. He was pot-shotting Larry Merchant, and he was
yep.
making Larry Merchant look stupid, which is
yep.
why Larry Merchant just up and retired, because he was making him look like a damn fool, like the damn fool that he is. Because if you watch those fights that him and Larry Merchant sat in on, right? Roy Jones was breaking down the fight, and he was like, okay, he doing this, and now he going to knock him out. This fight's almost over. And Larry Merchant would be like, well, I don't know. He looks like he may come back, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, everything that Roy Jones said happened. Happened.
There's nothing humble about him now. The humble, okay, you know what? We're killing too much time on this, but really, we didn't spend 30 minutes on this, and I got like four on the topic to get to. But
I understand that.
I'm gonna skip what Floyd said about. I'm gonna play this because
mm-hmm.
we got 5 minutes, and I'm gonna get into the other stuff. But anyway, humility.
Let me ask you something.
I don't think the fight really holds that much weight anymore. At one particular time, I mean, I wanted the fight to happen in the past. I wanted to fight Manny Pacquiao. Only thing I asked for is just random blood in your intestine. And I feel like I'm the first. I'm one of the pioneers that talked about random blood in your intestine.
And he's right.
He is absolutely right.
I didn't say he wasn't right. I mean, all I'm saying is for this one soundbite that I played, you know, he wanted to fight Pac. He doesn't want to fight him anymore. He doesn't think it's warranted. And I agree with him because Pac didn't hold up his end of the bargain. And boxing has become not a game or sport of, you know, number one, the top contender going against the champion. It's, you know, who do I want to fight? Who can I piss off? Da 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 da, so I can make the biggest payday. And that's what it is. And right now, he can't get a big payday.
Actually, it's about the draw. Who can draw the money?
Well, that's what it's about. And that's what I'm saying.
And that's what all fights are about.
It's about
always.
It's always about the money.
And that's what all fights are about. All of them.
Right.
Every fight. Every fight on the planet.
No, but see, that's the thing.
Every fight on the planet, Victor.
That's what I'm mad at UFC about. That's what I'm mad about with the UFC, because they're turning into boxing. Because it's no longer
a ranking
system.
It's called follow the money. I got that.
But a sport that's supposed to be based upon, okay, well, you know what, the best person's going to get the fight. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's what it was built off of. That was the foundation. Now it's turning into oh, old boy said he don't like him and he talked about my mama, so now I'm going to fight him. Or old boy did this, that, and the third, so now we're going to get like $10 million at the box office for them, so we're going to go in and put that fight together. We're going to skip over Johnny, who's been fighting for 5 years, defeated everybody you put in front of him, but he's the number one contender, but he's not going to get the fight for the title. That's where UFC is moving to, and that's where boxing is. That's the difference in why I don't like boxing as much as I did in the past when I was looking at Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and all that other stuff. Yeah, it was going on, but you still had top contenders fighting for a title as opposed to this person, that person stepping up and fighting. So,
The consumer buying public does not care who's the number one contender, or number two, number three, or number four, or five. They don't even know. They don't care. They want to see who they want to see. Even it's people like you that want to see Mayweather get knocked out, or it's people like me who want to see him just expand his greatness and just to see what type of technical skill he going to show.
The thing about it is, people get worked up when a fight gets hyped. When the hype is between two fighters, that's what people want to see. When they see these guys going back and forth with each other, basically these guys are self-hyping themselves and hyping up their match, and people want to see that match regardless of whoever it is, the number one contender, if he's the number 10 contender, and Mayweather or whoever is the champ. Because of the hype, whether it's self-hype or hype through the media, the hype pumps up the public, and the public buys into it and pays the money to go see the hype of the end result of these two guys getting into the ring and settling whatever differences they may have.
I mean, Jerry, I'm going to tell you the truth. What you just described, and it's all true, is wrestling, pro wrestling. That's all pro wrestling is.
It's any one-on-one sport, whether it's tennis, boxing, wrestling, MMA, or whatever. Any hype between a one-on-one type action, it's going to excite the general public, and they want to see that matchup. So,
well, see, that's the thing, though. You brought up tennis in that whole scenario. Tennis, their rank structure, and you go through tournaments. So you have to get to that individual to have that hype. It's not just, we're going to have this event just because we want to see who's the number one. No, you go through a tournament process, and you get to number one versus number two, or whatever case may be, and then they square off. That's the basis of the sport. In boxing, it used to be that way, but of course, yes, like you said, it's hype. Everything is hype. The Super Bowl, football, it's a team sport, but everybody wants to see the Harbaugh brothers go against each other to see who's going to be the better coach. Everybody wants to see the Manning brothers go against each other to see who's the better quarterback. I got it. But it's a process, a rank structure that people go through in order to get to that match. Whether it happens or not is part of the fun. It's not just instant gratification. That's what it is with this day and age of sports, instant gratification.
Absolutely. We're living in that age now, Victor, instant gratification.
Oh, no, I got that. And that's what I'm saying, that when you talk about, or when I brought up the soundbite of Mayweather saying he wanted to fight Pac before, he doesn't really see a need for the fight now, you know, because that instant gratification is no longer there. We all say, okay, well, if Marquez can knock out
That's not instant gratification. That's a payday. And whether Pacquiao and Mayweather are going to draw as much as they would have drawn a year ago, it's not, because of the circumstances now have changed. That Pacquiao
is not as big as Jerry. That's the point. If Pacquiao had to fight in Mayweather's weight class and move up to me, because I'm the purest sport person, that will make more of an exciting draw for me, the person that really doesn't like boxing but loves sports, because I can see if Pacquiao can even make it in his weight class. Because if Pacquiao can't make it in his weight class, why do I care if he goes in there and gets knocked out by Floyd? I mean, all this time I was like, you know what, Pacquiao is a good boxer. He's a slugger. He can give Floyd fits. And yeah, Floyd is the technician and stuff like that. But if you can't make it in his weight class, why bother? Instead of just throwing him in there to catch weight, where a title could be on the line, Floyd could be on the line, but it's going to be a catch weight or whatever it could be. That's great for the business, but not for the sport. I'm talking about the sport itself. But hey, I digress. We're moving on from boxing because we got 30 minutes left and I got like four other topics to talk about. I want to talk about the NFL Combine next, because it's individuals trying to prove their wares right now. You got Matt Titeo, who's about to give a press conference, I believe 20 minutes or so, talking about his whole situation. But what are we looking for in this draft? When it's the lineman and linebacker heavy draft, there's really no dominant skill position player. What do you guys see out there? Your boy from West Virginia says he should be the number one overall pick, but is he worth it? What do you guys think?
Who first?
You could go first, because I have no idea who these youngins are that's coming
okay.
in the draft, except Monty. I want to say this about Monty. Monty, the only thing Monty's got to do is come on and on that press conference and say, no, I'm not crazy. My lifestyle Monty, whatever his name is. He got to come up there and say, I'm not crazy. I can't, you know, my off-the-field issues is not going to be an issue, and I'm not gay. That's all he got to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, mm-hmm. And he's good.
You're not going to
say that.
Go ahead, Jerry. I just lost my train of thought here. What the heck was I going to say? About Geno Smith.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this, okay? This looks like to me the same scenario, but quite not the same scenario about 2 years ago, with a quarterback that was questioned on his ability. That quarterback won the Heisman. Geno Smith quite naturally didn't win the Heisman, but and probably won't be taken. And it'll be a surprise to me. Probably won't be taken in the first round, but just for instance, I think Geno Smith is going to be a surprise type of quarterback. I think he can play under center, and I think he can run the read option because he's done both. So to say that there's not a number one quarterback, Russell Wilson wasn't a number one quarterback, and he got taken late or in the second round, third round, whatever it was.
Third round,
yeah. And Geno Smith is probably going to be taken probably in the second round to third round, somewhere in there. I think that, for one, Geno Smith is going to be a surprise. And it's another kid, a tall, lanky kid, 6'6". The name escapes me. I think he's probably the tallest of all the quarterbacks that are coming out this year.
6'7" and a quarter.
Okay, and you know his name?
I forgot his name. They were just talking about him before.
Right. I do believe these two guys are going to be surprise guys. He'll probably go in the third round or fourth round also. But Geno Smith, whoever takes him, I think they're going to have a diamond in a rough, and probably a player like. Probably not the speed of Colin Kaepernick, but probably a player like the Colin Kaepernick that maybe be a little rough around the edges. But once you clean those edges off, you have a very nice quarterback. to deal with.
Hey, Jerry, your Twitter is MagicMan19... what?
1954.
54.
Yeah.
I want to thank Cloud Nation Radio for tuning in. Wanted to get our Twitter handles and stuff like that.
Okay. They tuned in when? Today or?
They're in the chat room right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
So appreciate them listening and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Geno goes, he wants to be the number one overall pick.
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
No, I don't think so either. But in this draft, I think the best players are the tight ends. I think the young man from Alabama, the linebacker, not, is Alabama or Georgia? I think it's Alabama, who just got in trouble again a couple days before the draft, before the combine. He just shot himself in the foot because he's proving that on his own, he might not be able to sustain his discipline. And then you got the kid in New England, the quarterback, going on a plane with a loaded weapon. You know, he's getting charged with the same thing that Plexico is. No, that's my bad. I'm talking about the guy from Tampa Bay, Bowl or something. But the other guy from New England had the same type of charge. But, I mean, what's going on with these kids coming out of college, doing these stupid things before the draft, and then these guys in the pros continuing with their idiotic behavior because they made it to the pros?
You can't.
These guys don't realize this is a short-lived stardom. They're still regular people.
They're still regular people, but they're young. Okay, some of these guys haven't matured. Some guys, regardless if they've gone to college and whatever grade level out of college they come, either matured while they're in college or haven't matured yet. And it takes a dose of reality at sometimes to help them get their act together and realize that they'll be throwing away millions if they don't get their act together, because they've been coddled ever since probably Pop Warner, allowed to do things ever since Pop Warner. So now they got to do things once they come out of college to make a livelihood, and some of them handle it better than others, and the ones that don't handle it well get in trouble, do knucklehead things. Do things that you scratch your head and say, why did they do that? And even if you get in the NFL, you still do knucklehead things and may not be able to keep a job in the NFL, Titus Young.
Yeah. Dumb. What do you think about this, Mike, before I play this soundbite? Because it goes straight into character.
You still there?
Okay. He's here. I guess he's like... got us on mute.
I'm sorry, I put you on mute. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to move right into it because Dennis Allen says that the Raiders are looking for character out of this draft and out of the free agency. The Raiders, being ran by former Washington Redskins, Riley McKenzie, they're looking for quality character players to join the Raiders.
And you look at the draft and you look at the challenges that you face and why people don't make it in the National Football League. A lot of times that's more to do with the type of person that they are and what really motivates them to succeed more so than it is just on athletic talent.
So when we look at a character or a player, such as my young man out of Alabama, the middle linebacker, who's a beast, physical specimen, can play the game. Is that type of player going to start to get pushed down because they're going to lose a lot of money? Teams want to invest. I mean, we can talk about Pac-Man Jones, you know, coming out of West Virginia. You know, he was known as being a difficult individual. You know, they thought they could, Tennessee thought they could fix him. You know, all these places thought they could fix them. he kept up with his idiotic behavior, got kicked out the league, got banned from the league, went to Dallas. Jerry Jones tried to help him with Drew Hill being in charge of their player outreach program. Didn't work there. Finally was out of a job for a season or two. Got called up because Gary Zimmerman was now with the Bengals, and he got a job. But most of his great youth and talent is now getting pushed aside because now he's in his upper 30s or younger 30s. So are players hurting themselves by doing stupid things like this young guy did, getting arrested and doing foolish things? Because I believe he got charged with robbery, some type of robbery. I can't think of it right now. And then Manti Te'o with this story. Okay, he lied, but he says he lied to cover up the shame. And then the guy comes out and says, well, I fell in love with him as the time went on. And,
unbelievable.
But I don't know if I'm gay. And I mean, is this stuff pushing people down the charts, or is it just saying, you know what, these kids nowadays are mentally unstable, their environment isn't what it used to be, and the colleges aren't prepping these guys correctly? And a side note to that, I'm going to answer that, but a side note is, should the NCAA allow these coaches more time to mentor these kids? You have to give mandatory mentorship time, as opposed to, okay, you only get so many hours a week, including the actual game, to be around these kids. Go ahead, JT, then I'm going to let Mike answer.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it's... Each situation is different, and like I said before, these are football players. These are not scholars for the most part. You know, some of them are having a high IQ and carry themselves like that, but overall, they're football players. And
more athletes, not just football players.
Well, they're football athletes. Players, and football players have a tendency to do some dumb stuff, and some of them can, like I said, some of them mature enough to not to let the peripheral things affect their main goal, is to get into the NFL, and some of them, because of their upbringing and where they come from, can't shake it until a dose of reality hits them, because, like I said, they've been coddled for so long and pumped up and told that they're the man. Well, they're getting around a bunch of men that can play way better than they can, and smack them and put them on their butt for the most part when they get on the field. And some of them,
Ryan Tyler would love that.
And some of them can handle it, and some of them can't. This is a big boys' club. And you got to be a big boy to come play with it. So some of them don't know how to deal with that, and some of them do, because now they're getting humbled. And a lot of guys from the hood, when they're supposed to be the man and they get smacked in the face, don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to. Some of them come back at you, and some of them sit there shocked and say, "That's not supposed to happen to me." So it's all according to what type of person they are.
Mike?
I agree with Jerry. They are football players.
Yes.
I mean, no, I don't think that them having more one-on-one time with coaches is going to, you know, help them get common sense. You know what I mean? It's not, it's not going to happen.
They need that positive influence.
No. Yeah, they do need that. They do need that. But the answer is not the coaches, because guess what, Vic? I hate to tell you this. The coaches, they in on it, Slim. They in on it. Because these coaches, what, making $1, $2, $3, maybe $4 million a year? How much the players getting paid? Damn, thank you. Right. they get on.
About to take
the podium.
He's about to
take
the podium.
Yeah. All he's gonna say is, "I'm not gay."
He's not going to say that. I'm telling you that right now.
Why won't he?
He better say it. He better
he's
say
not
gonna
it.
Why won't he?
I don't think he's
he
going to say it.
He better say it. He better say it. He better say
but,
it. Just like that boy down there in, that played for them Baltimore Ravens, he ain't out. The radar and eyebrows up at him real hard, but he is not out. We told you. There is no player in the NFL that is out.
That's what we told you.
Yes.
He was with.
Right.
Oh, and I also told you the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl with Mr. Loudmouth, Young Mouth. You ain't been
We
ain't talking
but
about.
But the Redskins still beat him, so it don't matter.
There goes that cocky Vic talking again.
Exactly.
You hear it, Jerry, don't you?
Just straight up.
There goes that cocky Vic talking again.
Right.
No. That was a rebuttal.
Talking about the Super Bowl? We're talking about Montateo being gay.
Michael's saying, "Well, I told you. And I said, "Well, I told you about the Super Bowl."
That ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
At any rate, Mr. Ian Benazio was with Kavita Shanae covering the UFC this past week. Since you brought him up, I just thought about that. He was helping our co-host First Down and Dirty. They were there, and she put up some screenshots of that. But I think character is a big issue with a lot of these players, and it's perfect that Manti Te'o's up at the podium right now discussing that as we were ending this topic. I don't want to turn people away from the show, but I think it's a very interesting thing. This guy is getting as much publicity as Tim Tebow did, you know, and the question hasn't come out yet about the imaginary girlfriend.
You don't think it's going to come out?
You don't think somebody's going to ask him that question? I didn't think it was going to happen, but it has not so far.
Why do you think he even having this joint? This is a PR move if I've ever seen one. Probably one of the best PR moves I've ever seen for a college player that ain't signed a contract yet.
All these high-profile college dudes get the same press conference. Matt Barkley had the same amount of people as Teo did. Barkley got asked the question. Do you think your arm, what do you have to say to those that feel that you have a weak arm? And he said, I strongly disagree. Okay, got it. I mean, it's not that this is a PR move for Teo. All these high profile players are getting it. They're not going to ask the same questions like Katie Couric did.
Okay, Bubble Boy, if that's what you want to believe,
wow,
we'll go with that.
I really don't think that somebody might ask the question, but they're not going to hit them with it off the bat. That's not the way you do it. You know, with the softballs, give them softballs to hit, and then you hit them with it. They're not going to come off the bat with it.
I don't care how they do it. I'm going to tell you right now, that youngin' got to come up there and say, I'm not gay, and he's got to say that my off-the-field issue is not a representation of me as a football player. That is what he's got to say. He's going to dress it, dance all around, and make
it
look cute. But he has got to say.
Somebody just asked the question. What have the coaches or representatives asked you about the situation? Says all they're asked is explain what the situation was and just tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that's how I prefer.
Which ain't the truth. Which ain't the truth.
I swear to God, I wish he would come on there and say the truth.
I am in love with Tuliasa Sopo. I'm in love with him. That's what he needs to say. That's what he should say. Oh my goodness.
Tuliasa Sopo's in love with him. I wouldn't be surprised.
And you don't think he? You don't think he? And you go right ahead and think that he's not in love with him? Okay.
Whatever his game is, that's his game. But the more important thing is, since he didn't show up in that title game, I think the major question should be, is he going to be able to show up in the NFL? yeah, you can talk about, you know, whether he is or isn't, you know, gay or not, but he's going to the NFL. He's not going to the gay and lesbian NFL. He's just going to the NFL.
Hey, in my opinion, Monte Teo is Brian Broadworth's deja vu all over again.
The hype? Yeah, the hype behind
yep.
Brian Broadworth.
Yep.
Yeah. I get it.
And he'll run up against
Brian Broadworth with a twist.
Yeah, there you go. He'll run up against somebody and he'll get blown up just like Brian Broadworth.
Manti-Teo collision, and you know what? It would surprise me, honestly, if the Bears went and got this guy in the second or third round to prepare him to replace Brian Urlacher. Because the guy that's there right now that replaces Brian Urlacher, he can play all three positions, but he's not the beast that Urlacher is. So they're looking to replace Urlacher. So that wouldn't surprise me if they got him after they took care of their line issue.
I think every team in the NFL need to stay away from this little boy. I think he's toxic, and I don't think he can play.
Well, I would say this. On that note, I think Teo has instinct. How will his instinct translate into the NFL? I don't know. It depends on how they develop. If they throw him in there right away to start, nope. He's answering that question right now. Because he's saying he's bringing a lot of heart and determination. You know, I mean, that's the answer he's giving. You have to develop this guy. He's one of those guys that he needs reps in order to prove that he's worthy of being in the NFL. Put him on special teams for the first year or two. Let him work his way into the position. And if he doesn't pan out on special teams, you haven't wasted a lot of money and a lot of time on him. He could have been a first-round draft pick and been a Brian Bosworth, like Jerry said. I think he's fallen from that. But I want to get off of this topic because I've got 8 minutes left. I want to talk about fantasy baseball. The league that we're in, Jerry, has filled up pretty well. We have 12 teams in there, and one major team that a lot of folks are discussing is the New York Yankees, your area. Somebody just asked them about the imaginary girlfriend. But let me talk about Mariano Rivera, who may not be with the Yankees after spring training. Here's a soundbite on Rivera.
Mariano said he needed one or two more bullpen sessions, and then they would go from there. But, you know, opening day is still almost 40 days away. He's not planning to rush it. They're not planning to rush it. Remember, this is a guy who normally only pitches about 5 innings a spring anyway, so I think it will be a while.
Do you see Mariano Rivera, coming back to the Yankees and being effective this year?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. Unless he retires, he's coming back to the Yankees. There's no doubt in my mind. Mario Rivera, he's not going anywhere but the Yankees.
Okay, so what's the state of the Yankees? They got Kevin Youkilis at third base because of A-Rod. And I'm quite sure they're glad that A-Rod's not going to be there. Then you've got Derek Jeter, who says he's going to be better this year than he was last year, even though he's advanced in age. You've got Curtis Granderson out in the outfield who came on. He hasn't made as many errors. Mark Teixeira. Teixeira. You got the pitching staff, which is good, but not young. What's the fantasy forecast for the Yankees and pretty much the overall forecast for the Yankees, in your opinion?
The only player that I really like, well, let me put it this way. I think Granderson, Teixeira, and Cano are, and not necessarily in that era, I mean, not necessarily in that order, and possibly Kevin Youkilis are good bets to be some fantasy, good fantasy picks. But Cano, quite naturally, is in the top 10. Teixeira and Granderson, who strikes out a lot, unfortunately, but has a lot of power and been pretty consistent over the last few years with the power and RBIs. And the pitching staff is, well, you know, I liked them last year. I still like them. CC Sabathia, and you're right, they're old. Fantasy wise, there's sporadic players throughout the roster that you can pick up in different levels of the draft. Quite naturally, Cano's a first round draft pick. The other ones, depending on what your draft is and where you're going to draft them, Euclid, Teixeira is probably in the 30 to 40 range, somewhere around that, maybe 30 to 50 range. Granderson is probably somewhere mixed in there, maybe a little lower. But the pitchers are probably, and I'm probably going to employ a different
strategy
this year with the pitching. But pitching, there's going to be quite a few good pitchers out there. Let me put it that way. You know, quite naturally, there's studs that you pick up relatively early, but not real early. And then you can pick up a good pitching later in the draft. But getting back to the Yankees, there's only one surefire first-round pick, and that's Cano. All the other ones are going to fall in the, I wouldn't say later rounds, but going to fall well below the first round. So,
yes.
But there's some fantasy goodness out there for the Yankees, and high reward, high risk. With guys on the Yankees too, everyday players and pitching.
I agree. We're going to have to finish this conversation up in overtime. We've got 3 minutes left in live here, and I want to promo everything. Tomorrow on the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jerry will be discussing more fantasy baseball goodness as we gear up for fantasy baseball. If you want to join one of our leagues, tweet us at Fantasy Sports, at Fan Sports and Paul, or at FSP Cruise Show, or at Magic Man 1954. Let us know that you're interested, and you can join the league. It's $50 to get in. We have a dynamic league. It's 10 by 10, and we'll help you out there. But tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JTATM Money goes live with some fantasy baseball goodness and maybe some reaction to the Combine and Manti Te'o and some other things, I'm not sure. On Thursday, the Crew Show returns. We had a great guest this past Thursday with Ivory Leda. Very, very, very personable young lady. I can't wait to see her play for the Mystics this upcoming basketball season. And then on Fridays at 7 p.m., you have No Chaser with Matt Williams and JTATM Money Taylor. This past week had part two of Sylvia Crawley come on. Great, great guest. Great, great talk. Then it begins. Next Saturday, JTATM Money, maybe Miss Crawley, maybe my cousin, maybe somebody comes on and co-hosts for the next 2 months as I step away and do my thing and come back. Looking for some great goodness in the numbers, because I will be scrutinizing the numbers there. I will be scrutinizing the numbers. But we've got a great show. Hopefully, Kim Fun returns. And she's back in the United States trying to act stuff back. What's going to happen? But every Saturday, we're here at Fantasy Sports and Politics at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are good to go. And we love what we do. JT, anything you want to say real quick with 30 seconds?
Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in.
All right, all right, all right. My cousin Michael, Grown Soul and Real Talk, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Title explains itself, Blog Talk Radio, GSRT. Check them out. They got that stuff going on over there. Many, many topics on their Facebook page. Craziness. But we've got a lot of great stuff going on with these shows. Go ahead.
I was going to say, on March 26th, we're going to be talking with Dr. Francis Kress Wesley. And on March 12th, we're going to be relaunching the whole GSRT Media. You know, we're gonna be launching our website, and Brother Vic, I have left my job. I will be doing this full time.
Wow.
What the? How much money did you get? I mean, how much money are you making off of?
How much money am I making? Be pulling something like $25 a month, and that was just me doing it part time.
Well, shoot me some information, because if you're leaving, and right. I know your situation.
No,
that's...
no. Remember, that's a whole bit of money. I left.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I know the situation, so in order for you to leave, this must be a major deal going on. And interesting. That's interesting. I'd like to know more. Just shoot me some information, because you've had some tenure in your other position.
Huh?
You had tenure in your other position for you to leave it.
Yeah, I had plenty of tenure. I'm just tired of working for everybody else. I need to do my own thing. I need to spread my own wings and crop this thing down and do it. I'm going to be doing a lot more touring, a lot more performing. I'm going to be running my mouth all over the place.
Oh, my God. But, shoot me some information, dude, because that's interesting. That's very interesting. Good luck with it. Whatever we can do to help, let us know. But I want to know more about it. JT, you know there's a new host call-in number, right?
Yes, I do know. I used it, I think it's Thursday or Friday, one of those days. I think I used it both days.
I didn't know when it changed, but I'm looking at it now. And
yes, I saw it on Thursday when I jumped in there. I said, ooh, it's something different here. So,
okay.
Yes,
but anyway,
I saw it.
Would they give you a new 800 number, or they just change the number?
Change the number. I didn't buy the 800 number because it would be good to have, but at the same time, I want to move this from BTR, and I'm not going to keep putting money in and, you know, not being able to generate the type of money that I would like to get for these guys and for the work that they do, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
I'm gonna shoot you some information and teach you how to do it. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna send you some stuff. I'll teach you how to do it. Make the little bit of money. Make the little bit of money, like you said.
He laughing like that. That ain't a little bit of money. So send him some information, please.
It runs in the bloodline. I'm just a little bit more subdued. But
here we go. Here we go. See that?
What do you mean, here we go?
Shuck and jive. Shuck and jive black man. That's what you want, a shuck and jive black man.
Am I dancing? Am I tap dancing?
Make sure you in your place. Is that what you're saying? Well, what place is
that? I am not Steven. Don't even go there, homie. That ain't the case. I'm Django.
Okay.
Silent mother. You know, that's who I am.
You know him.
That's your favorite line. Okay. Let's get ready to get off of this topic. But I just want to thank everybody for supporting us for all this time and listening to us and being there and all that good stuff. Hope you guys enjoy the program. Card shots real quick. Mike, Jerry, then we're going to end this show.
Huh?
Party shot.
Grown Soul and Real Talk, baby. Check us out at grownsoul.com. Well, check us out on the 12th. Site will be up on the 12th.
Okay. I want to say, Vic, you stay safe. Hopefully it won't be as bad as you think it may be. I know it's going to be an extended period of time. And that can be trying on the family, including yourself. So stay strong and come back, and everything will still be intact, probably even stronger than it was before.
All right. Thanks, and be cocky.
Be cocky.
It's the air of love and happiness, and this is the new definition of summer madness. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys again. I appreciate you. Check us out. If you want to throw some money our way, we're more than willing to take it. More than willing to take it. So, I sound like it's the Riddler from the 1970s Batman. I forgot the actor's name.
Did you say 1970?
Yeah, the 1970s.
You know what I think of every time when I heard you say 1970?
And the Riddler back then, and the Riddler back then was Frank Gorshin.
Okay.
Oh,
damn!
I didn't even know his name. I did not know his name.
Mhm.
Yeah, he was the cool dude. I like him.
Mhm. Mhm.
But at any rate, my cousin, my family. Enjoy the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. UFC 158 headlined by women. Because I won't be here. Happy Women's History Month next month. Show some love. There are some pioneering women. I know that Danica Patrick got a lot of flack for winning the pole at the Indianapolis 500. She hasn't won Indianapolis 500, but hopefully she'll finish well. But just like Black History Month, people gloss over it until somebody makes us think about it. Women are important and more than just giving birth to the human race. They
have
many contributions.
Wow. Really? I thought you said she polled well. She took the poll? You said she took the poll at NASCAR.
My God.
And you talk about women are going to headline the UFC or MMA. Guys are going to be tuning in. Guys are going to be tuning in, looking at butt and chest. And I'm saying,
no, y'all dudes were lying about that chick. I saw that chick. She is sexy. That chick y'all was talking about a month ago. That's in the UFC.
Yes.
She is sexy.
She's a sexy little thing. But she's gonna be fighting tonight. And she's headlining the big UFC event.
What station?
It's pay per view. So preliminaries will be on. The first couple fights will be on Facebook. Go to UFC on Facebook. They're gonna show you the preliminaries. Then they're gonna do some preliminaries on Fuel TV. Then the final preliminaries are gonna be on FX. And then the main card, which is about four fights on the main card, are going to be on pay-per-view. It's all men on the undercard, and the women are the headliner. So
the women are on the pay-per-view?
Yeah, they're the headliner.
Jerry, hit me up. I got a link for you.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, you gave the link the last time. Well, I
didn't
post you anywhere. I thought you gave me
the
last time you
were
on air.
I didn't send y'all that link?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to send it to you right now.
Well,
okay.
I use front row. I use front row. But if you got another one, yeah, shoot it out. Shoot it out. Maybe it's better than front row.
It might be front row.
Well, check it out. You should enjoy it. Should be a bunch of good fights going on. Again, NFL Combine. Check it out on NFL.com or NFL Network. And again, I enjoy doing this. But we got to take it to another level. We'll see what happens. JT, get us out of here.
Well, from Mikal, myself, and Mr. FSP, Mr. Victor Gardner, Mr. Too Sweet, Mr.
Hey,
Military, Mr. Pickaninny Man, Okay, so if you want to call me that, I'm gonna run that right back to you.
If you call me Mr. Too Sweet, that ain't even right.
Hey, when I first came on in the beginning of this show, what did you call me? You called me a pickaninny. Come on.
A pickaninny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I want to ask you guys before we get on? I know y'all got to go.
Yeah.
But have y'all been seeing this, the new viral joint that they've been doing on YouTube?
What,
the Harlem Shake?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man, that joint had me crying laughing. I seen this one joint where this Army Platoon was doing the joint. And I swear, I was looking at one dude, he looked just like Vic. I was looking at this guy, I was like, wait, that better not be my cousin.
Whatever.
I am not lying to you.
Whatever.
I think just about every part of the force has been got in on the jump.
Really?
Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard.
They all
got it. Like, this is football teams, college teams. Oh, my goodness. I think the best sports one I saw was the Maryland one. The Maryland, when Maryland beat Duke, they did it at halftime. Oh, Maryland is off the chain. If you've never been to a Maryland Duke basketball game here in Maryland, you missing something. You are missing something.
Yeah, I remember
all right.
Those days.
Well, before you guys go, I want you guys to check out. I just looking at it, and I haven't watched it. Michelle Obama and Jimmy Fallon.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
The video, Just the Hands, Part One of Single Ladies. So supposedly she's doing something.
Explain it, please.
Well, it's a video, and they mock single ladies or something like that. So you gotta watch it. I haven't watched it yet, so. I'm going to watch it after I get off the phone with you guys. So.
All right.
Anyway, from Macau, from myself and Victor Gardner, Victor, stay safe. Regardless of what I call you, I want you to stay safe and come back Army strong. How's that?
Come back in one piece.
Yes.
And you make sure you put together them radios real good for them brothers.
I don't put together radios.
Well, he's messing with you, Victor. Come on. Where is your sense of humor, Victor?
Because my cousin is a jerk. Anyway.
I love you, boy. You better get back here. You better get back here. I ain't going to take nothing else. You better get back here.
With you being so cocky, you got to have a sense of humor.
Silence is golden.
In the show, so I can go get ready to go do something.
You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.